So tell me, Peter, why all this concern and discussion today about us, about community radio?
Well, as Walt knows better than I do, because he's the wonderful person who's organized it, we're having our 9th anniversary celebration this Saturday at the Destination, 6 to 9 p.m. The Nopalito food truck will be there.
Destination Sports and Arts Complex at 1103 East Loman. People don't know who they are yet, but they will.
They're, you know, we've had meetings over there, and I think if you want to play sports or practice sports or practice music, they've got a lot of different rooms for that.
Yep. Or hold music. A concert, which is what we're going to do.
Yep, we are. With three bands.
Four.
Four bands now.
Yep.
Oh, you keep upping it on me all the time.
Been four. We've got Clinton Wilcox, who I didn't realize until last week. He came on our show last week. He played in the warm-up bands for both of the last two 4th of July concerts with two different bands. This year it was Triple Jack, and last year it was Sally something, or I forget the name of that band. But anyway, Clinton Wilcox is the host of Christian Classics 101, which is every Tuesday morning. And he will be performing solo keyboards. He's also, I think, what did he say, a classically trained...
Oh, yeah, when he was on the show a year or so ago. Yeah, he's classically trained.
So anyway, he'll be one. Jet Zero, also known as Julian Medina, who listeners of the four, he'll be the one that they don't recognize just because he's one of the behind-the-scenes guys.
Right.
But he has been the sound mixer for Local Vibes Live from the very beginning and came to us with professional experience as a sound mixer, which was really great.
Yeah, he's a great resource for us.
So he'll be performing as Jet Zero. And then Alex Brinkley, who is the host of Local Vibes Live, has a brand new 3-piece band called Desert Honey. And so they will be playing. And then the headliners will be the Swamp Coolers, who have been on our air twice, playing live, once on Local Vibes Live, the other time on Live from the Farmers Market. And they are led by Tim Staley, better known as Tater. And people know him here at KTEL for doing our poetry moments. And so in between all of that, we are also going to be honoring three new members of the Las Cruces Community Radio Hall of Fame. And they are going to be Rob McCorkle, Julie Lowe Sanchez, and John Horder, better known as Johnny Catalog. So all of that is going to be happening, and this is open to the public. All of the listeners are invited. This is a celebration that we want to share with all of you guys. Our 9th, so we got to start planning. Next year is going to be a big one, but this year will be fun. And once again, that's all going to be going down this Saturday, 6 to 9, at the Destination Sports and Arts Complex.
Yeah, and it's probably worth repeating. I'm afraid I've probably said it before at some point, but community radio is really significant in having the community talk to itself politically, socially, musically, whatever, particularly as other news sources either dry up or shrink a bit, or if their radio take away their local discussion shows. We are performing a key service, and it'll only become more critical as time goes on.
Well, the way community radio came about, people will remember, it's been probably 20 years ago now, they used to have a rule that you can only own a certain amount of radio stations in any one state. And once they got rid of that rule, what everybody said would happen, happened. And that is Clear Channel and, two or three of these mega radio outlets came in, bought up all the local stations, fired all the local people, replaced all the local voices with one person in, a radio station in Atlanta or somewhere else. And as a way to counter that, as a way to bring local voices back to the airwaves, because they disappeared overnight. I mean, it was capitalism being voracious, which is what capitalism does. And
for me, it was my aunt in Hartford suddenly becoming a far right person because her favorite radio station got bought up.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And she was listening to Rush Limbaugh all the time.
When they change what you're listening to all the time, that'll have that effect. But yes, so and you know, one final thing I would add to that is I spent a good part of my day yesterday sending out invitations to everybody running in a local race. There are a couple of the state races that we decided not to do this year, Treasurer and
Are inviting the governor and lieutenant governor candidates.
We can add them if you want. I didn't do lieutenant governor.
You know, they don't always come.
Yeah, they almost never come. But that, you know, we're talking about governor and Senate. Those guys almost never come.
Right.
But I was very encouraged with the response that we in the first day.
Right.
And I, for what it's worth, have heard from people who are active in the local political scene who have told us that our on-air campaign forums have grown in significance, more people are listening to them and more candidates are aware of them, I guess would be the way I would put it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people go on the archives after and listen to them too.
Yes,
it's I'm glad to hear it. Look forward to fair discussions with a variety of people.
But that's just one example of, you know, but it's a big one. It's the one that I always point to. Because, yes, the Bulletin will no doubt send out a questionnaire, and the Sun News probably will as well. But getting a question and having all day to pore over what your answer is and filling out a questionnaire is not the same thing as getting. And the other thing I would say is what we do, where we ask questions about complicated issues and give you all the time you need to respond, is also different than a formal debate where they ask questions about complicated issues and give you 60 seconds to respond.
Yeah.
So I just think there's nobody doing what we're doing with that
for
election
local
coverage.
Races, no.
Yeah, so.
And, people can hear it right in their home and join in.
And join in.
You know, somebody's got a
although we
a
need
question
to think about that part a little bit.
Well.
The joining in. That part always worries me.
Do we may get too many that interrupt?
Or that a candidate could set it up ahead of time to have all their supporters call in. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but it could.
Are you saying this on the air so people get the idea?
No. Listen.
I know. Well, if it happens, we'll handle it.
Yeah, okay.
The people will see our non-gentle side, whichever, and that's true.
Well, we won't know about it until the third or fourth call, though.
Right, but we'll still be on air.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I listen.
We can be mean,
right? We can discuss
right?
this off air, but, you know.
Actually, it's hard. You're rarely mean. I think I have been known to be mean. You're too good-natured a guy to hammer those people.
But anyway, that is coming up. So
and our first segment, which is now 10 minutes old already, is going to be 8 to 8:40. Walt and I will talk about issues and hope you folks will call in and join the discussion. We're at 526-5825. Call us about public issues. In particular, this one's sort of breaking news for a lot of people. Yesterday, late in the day, I think it was should have happened early and earlier, in my personal opinion. The county commission unanimously told county manager Scott Andrews to go find somewhere else to be.
Yeah, better late than never, I guess. And I don't, as I was telling, we were talking off air, the truth is I stopped going to county meetings a while back, so I don't have much firsthand knowledge at all as to Mr. Andrews.
I had actually prepared yesterday or the day before, but I had prepared a full column that I probably now will not use.
Or at least modify.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Basically saying, this guy is not really there. He's busy looking for his next employment. There are public documents confirming that.
Well, he probably saw the writing on the wall, I think.
No, he's been looking for a while. But he hasn't, according to several people who've talked to me, employees are a little confused and troubled by the fact that he's not there so much anymore.
Yeah.
He's already taken a lot of personal items out of his office, but he hadn't resigned. And it's like, you know, I know that he had personal reasons to not want his health care interrupted, mm-hmm. at least as of a few months ago.
Which was rational and understandable.
Well, his wife was pregnant.
Okay.
So extra reason.
Yeah.
At least that's what I was told a few months ago. But he has apparently not been performing. The temporary county manager, I'm told, reamed him out in her resignation letter a few months ago for basically throwing her under the bus. The county has so far illegally or improperly withheld that part of her letter in my IPR request, saying it's an opinion in a personnel file. Anyway, it needed to happen, and so credit the county commission. You know, although I would have criticized them had this gone on much longer, they did act, and they did what they needed to do.
Say, it sounds like you had a column written already criticizing them. So,
yes, I was.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, you don't need to. You don't need to follow them closely. You don't need. Obviously, you can form a better opinion if you do, but you can watch them at a distance, them being the county government, and see that it's a mess. The state. Is so distrustful would be a mild, kind way to put it, that they won't let them handle state money anymore. You know, if they get money from any kind of state project, whether it's capital outlay, whatever it is, it doesn't go directly to the county because they can't be trusted. And so the state has ordered that all state funds have to go through a special agent who the county commission will have absolutely no control over. I mean, they still make the decisions on where to spend the money, but the actual process as to how that's done, they can't be trusted with it. They have been so shoddy for so long and have been so indifferent to so many, you know, going back to Kim Stewart, and I'm sure there are examples that go back further than that. And they just shrug their shoulders, pay it with the taxpayer money, and move on. And it seems like we get a new batch of commissioners who come in, but it doesn't matter who the commissioners are. If the people at the top, the people doing the day-to-day work, the county manager and those immediately underneath him or her, if they're screwing everything up and the commissioners aren't stepping in to stop it.
I did write a column right after that state audit came out, and the state auditor, you know, gave, I thought, a pretty good report. Some of that was stuff I'd written about 12 years ago in terms of retaliation against employees and that kind of thing. So you're right. It preceded the current commissioners. I will say that, you know, I've criticized the response by the commissioners to it, saying it was political, but apparently I don't think it influenced the content of the report, but it's unseemly that the state auditor was using this as a fundraising thing. I mean, I understand his people may feel like, okay, here, I'll show you I'm doing a great job.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, if I were a municipal judge, I wouldn't want to be writing a Sunday column about how you ought to be hard on the criminals or how I sent some people to jail or whatever to raise money for my campaign. Because
that's a whole other issue, the fact that judges have campaigns, but yes.
Right. Well, they're not supposed to have much of
a
campaign.
Right, but I don't think there's...
So bad example, anyway. Maybe, but, you know, but an auditor is a little analogous to a judge and ought to avoid the appearance of conflict of interest, not just real conflict of interest, but any appearance of it.
Yeah, but the problems with the county, I mean, we haven't talked about Project Jupiter yet and all of the alleged corruption swirling around that and pay for play and, we haven't talked about well, the ongoing the situation with the sheriff's department. I mean, it just goes on and on. The audit was just the latest example, but
you know, I got to think that the whole sheriff thing, people don't realize Kim Stewart was a county employee, basically kind of keeping an eye on civil rights kind of things and whether they were following
the
law. No,
I mean, I think it wasn't limited to civil rights. I think she was a compliance officer that looked out, investigated any kind
of inartful statement. But she was.
But it was the civil rights investigation that led to the friction.
Somebody did some stuff that seemed racist. She called him on it. He was better liked in the county than she was, or had more power or more whatever.
Yeah, probably all those.
And, you know, she got canned and actually moved to Ecuador. But meanwhile, while she was in Ecuador, her lawyer was handling her case against the county. And on, I think it was right about July 3rd or something, 10 years ago, the jury came back and they really, you know, they hated the county witnesses. They loved Kim. In fact, some of the jurors hugged her after the trial was over. And they just, you know, now there are still some county employees on
the other side
who will tell you that witnesses perjured themselves.
Yeah, but the point of that is it was what, $1.6 million?
Yeah, including the attorney fees. Probably
That came after the Stephen Slevin judgment. And for those who aren't aware of that case, Stephen Slevin was a gentleman who was pulled over for running a Border Patrol checkpoint and was drunk and so got arrested for drunk driving. While he was awaiting trial, while he had not been convicted of a single thing, he was being held in the Doniana County Detention Center in conditions that were so deplorable that he was pulling his own teeth out. His nails were curling, and you know, conditions that were so deplorable, so inhumane that a federal jury issued an award greater than any.
It was incredible. Yeah,
it was the largest. I forget what it was too, but it was the largest award for any kind of incarceration mistreatment in the United States at the time it was issued. Well, that was our county, and they learned nothing from that. They learned nothing.
The other thing it followed by 2 years was, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, might have been Sanchez, but there was a roads worker who'd been discriminated against and basically retaliated against for whatever, and I forget exact, for complaining. But he was retaliated against wrongly, and he sued, and he got a pretty good award about 2 years to the day almost before Kim's case.
Yeah.
So how many jurors columnists have to say, you guys are, your employment situation ain't as it should be.
That's all of which is to say that adios, Mr. Andrews, and, you know, but let's not let's not lay this all on him.
And anyway, I think some of the people who were adverse to Kim in her lawsuit that testified that, yes, she should have been fired, and who were involved in firing her, some have been there, still.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Some are gone. But some have been there. Yeah. And I think when a new set of commissioners come in, you know, they say, oh, yeah, that Sheriff Kim, she's a whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's not a good start.
All right. Let's get off the county. The county's too depressing.
Okay.
Let's talk about something more cheerful like the Iran war.
Yeah, I notice it's having trouble getting funded with even a lot of Republicans in Congress saying, you know, wait a minute. What are we doing here?
Well, and Pete Hegseth was before the Senate yesterday, and it's the same clown show. It's, you know, the only difference is the Senate it's not all Democrats anymore who are starting to raise questions about where is this going and what are we doing. And apparently now we are bombing water desalination treatment plants. We still refuse to acknowledge responsibility for what everybody knows was a mistake. Nobody thinks they bombed that school intentionally, but everybody knows they did it.
Yeah.
And they still refuse to acknowledge that, put out a full report. And it is just very clear as, I don't know, every day that goes by, I just get terrified that Donald, I think he's down to two options. I really do. I think he's pull up stakes and go home, or go all in and have a bloody nightmare. And I, as we sit here today, don't know which of those two, because we can't keep doing this forever.
I don't either. And some of my friends from Kuwait and Iran that I went to school with here long ago,
yeah,
are, you know, very, very concerned.
Yeah, well, you would have to be.
Yeah.
Because the whole, it's not just Iran. I mean, that whole area is spiraling out of control. And Israel...
Israel is out of control.
It is. And I think Netanyahu is starting to feel caged and cornered. And that can't be a good thing.
Well, of course, more strongly than Trump, he has a personal motive to stay in office because they have serious corruption case against him.
Right.
That, you know, I don't know how good it is, the case
against
him.
I don't either.
It's, you know, but, a sure winner or right, questionable right. or whatever. But I know he doesn't want to go through that.
Well, of course. And, you know, and any time a political leader goes on trial, I think that it's just as much of how do we feel about this guy as it is what does the evidence say and what did he do. If we really love him, yeah, we okay, well, you gotta forgive a few things. And if you don't, then you throw the book at him. So, but... The Congress is debating what this, I forget how many billions, I think it's in the trillions when you get to the overall package that they're asking for. And I just, like I said, I think Trump isn't stupid. He can look around and he can read the polls. And he knows that he keeps going out there telling us over and over and over again how much Iran wants to make a deal. And, you know, I mean, he knows that you can't keep feeding us that line every day and expect.
Does he?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I think he's surrounded by people who help him be self-delusional. But is he dumb enough to really believe that? I don't know. You're asking me to climb into his head, and I don't know. But that would be a level of self-delusion that would be way out there.
Yeah.
But not saying, yeah, obviously, the man is way out there. So,
I think he's, I think Hegseth tells him, you know, now that we have all this testosterone, we're going to beat them. We're going to beat them to a pulp. And that'll save you. That'll rescue your poll numbers, you know.
I was so sorry that Saturday Night Live was off the air when that happened. I can't wait to see Colin Jost do a... His Pete Hegseth demanding more testosterone. Anyway.
Ouch.
What a weird time we're living through. Good grief.
You know, if you were trying to do a spoof on how things ought to go in Washington, you'd have to be one hell of a scriptwriter to come up with what we're seeing every day.
Every day. No, that's right. It's just very unpredictable.
Almost every day. You know, there's something new and nuttier.
Well, there really is.
If not more dangerous.
Yeah.
So, somebody call in and rescue us from our...
we're kind of spiraling down here. 575-526-5825. Cheer us up. Tell us something fun. What's going on in the community?
Yeah, one thing that I did want to mention, if people care about nature, as a lot of people here do, the Bureau of Land Management is seeking public comment, and I think it runs up very soon, on a proposed revocation of a public land order that basically affected the area around Chaco Canyon, Chaco Culture National Historical Park. Anyway, that is an almost sacred place to anybody that cares about culture and history and nature.
Yeah.
And they're They basically added to the protection areas around it, and they are now going to withdraw that. I think they did that in 2023. Now they're going to open it to mining and mineral releasing.
Yeah, so, get used to that. That's my column this week, is what happened in Utah. Okay. And the fact that it took Steve Pierce less than 2 months. Less than 2 months after Steve Pierce was made the head of the BLM, they reduced the size of the Grand Stairway Escalante and Bears Ears monuments by 90%. Took more than 3 million acres and reduced it to 300,000.
Okay. We have a caller, an eminent caller. Good morning, sir.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey,
where
good
are you
morning.
Okay, there you are. Go ahead.
Yep, sorry. Hey, Walt. Hey, Peter. This is Manny Sanchez.
Yes.
I know we had talked. I know we were you mentioned about the news of the county manager.
Yeah, tell us what you can about that.
Well, I mean, I think it's probably already pretty much out in the news, or at least in the papers, I believe. But, early last week, the commission was provided a separation agreement that was proposed by Scott Andrews to the commission. I think he was anticipating something coming, or I shouldn't say that much, because that was not necessarily the direction we were looking to go. But we had been provided that yesterday. Obviously, we had our closed session to discuss the proposed separation agreement, and so that's kind of where we landed. This was in my mind, not a direction I was thinking of or planning of. I don't know necessarily that any of the commission thought that this was, from before receiving that agreement, this was something that we were going to do. But that, kind of given where we were at, we ended up making the decision that we did yesterday,
which was to terminate him.
Correct. Yeah, and it when you look at the contract, when you exit the agreement, it's a termination. So, based off of the fact that there was, there was no clauses for early termination by the county manager, and so based off of that, we had to terminate for no cause. There wasn't a specific cause of where we were at. I know we were planning to have a mid-year discussion with Scott to discuss potential areas of maybe some changes in priorities or things he could focus on to move forward, and that was where we were planning to go. I know Commissioner Kimball, as she had been appointed to replace former Commissioner Reynolds, had not had an opportunity. She was not part of the priority building process at the end of last year
right.
with the commission. And so, this was going to be an opportunity for her as well to give Scott her feedback and kind of, I think, given the year has gone at the beginning of the year with the audit and other things. We were, I think there was an opportunity to pivot and make sure that we had, the right priorities going into the second half of the year.
Walt and I were talking about it. I mean, there have been certain problems that were discussed in the audit have been there for a long time, since well before you became a commissioner, and are in maybe upper management below commission level. What are you doing to be confident that you're really going to get to the root of this time? The employment problems, the retaliation, and the fiscal problems.
Yep, and I have a hard time hearing you, Peter. I think I got the gist of what you were talking about, because I was listening a little bit earlier. So let me, you know, in terms of what we've been doing, I know we've struggled on our HR side, and it's something that myself and Commissioner Reynolds, when he was on the board, had been trying to focus on in various ways. But the big one had been, how do we get more SOPs? SOPs meaning standard operating procedures, because that was one of the feedback that we had gotten from staff, I believe even from the sheriff, was, what processes is HR following? Why are they different for different departments? But, we needed to have that, so it's very clear direction in terms of what the different roles, the responsibilities in the process. And then, there was never any question as to, whether they were following the right processes. So one of the things that we've been doing is working with a contractor to help us get SOPs with kind of leveraging best practices from some other municipal governments as well, so we can get those implemented. And that's all that should be coming up, I believe, in the next few months with those SOPs. But it's something that we had already been working on even while the audit was ongoing, because it was something that Scott had also seen as a necessary need. It was noted in the audit that, we're working on that. So that's a big piece of it with HR. The retaliation, we've been trying to get and improve our ethics point system. I know that's still, so that way when the items are raised, it's easier for employees to raise those concerns. We've had a little bit of bumps along the way in terms of how that's gone because of the changes, but that was something that I had proposed in terms of ethics complaints, trying to get those highlighted so that it's not a political process. It's very objective, and we take a look at it. So we're working on trying to work through some of the kinks on that. But those are some of the things that we've done. But retaliation should never, that's not a place in the government. Right. I know, as Walt noted, the previous, I think Sheriff Stewart's lawsuit and some of the others, but I don't think we've had, in the 7 years that I've been on, we've had any lawsuits of that nature. Though there's been a lot of talk of that, we haven't had those kinds of things, and that we do take it seriously.
I know this is all very new still, but can you talk a little bit about the process of looking for a new county manager? And
go ahead. It'll be here in our next steps next week in our BOCC meeting. We'll have more discussion on probably naming it'll be the name an interim county manager for the next week. We've asked the assistant county managers to continue on with their with managing of their departments, and so and then we'll get that sorted out next Tuesday. Following on, I'm just guessing, but more than likely, we will probably not begin a search till later this year at best. If not, we might want to wait till early next year, so that way, with the election coming up, we could have one or two new commissioners on the board. So we want to make sure that they're a part of that process in selecting that new county manager.
So you may not actually be hiring until next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a high likelihood that we'll have an interim until that point. With the priority being managing of the audit findings, Project Jupiter, but we still have a lot of other initiatives going on around the GO bond and some of these other things. So, I think, we'll try to find a way in which to minimize we want to make sure that we have stability going forward to make sure we don't lose focus on these, because it's a priority for the commission to make sure these are addressed.
One of the questions people ask me a lot is Project Jupiter definite? Is there any way it may get stopped at this point? I usually reply that the environmental department technically could do that. Is there any possibility that if they breached the contract with the county might take action to reverse the decision on Project Jupiter?
Yeah, I mean, it's the if they were to breach the contract, and we'll have to, you know, we have to give them an opportunity to fix the breach.
Sure.
Through that process, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think what it's a little frustrating because I think when people see that we're trying to take action and we're, you know, not suing them or doing something, it's, you know, we're trying to work through the contract and the process with them. It's not because we're being weak or saying, hey, there's another chance here. Don't worry, we'll take care of you guys. It's not any of that. It's just the contractual requirements that we have to be able to allow them an opportunity to fix any potential breaches of that. And so, but we absolutely are watching and monitoring them. From another perspective, I think what I've seen is that actually Oracle has now been a lot more vocal in stepping up and trying. And I know some of those, you know, have been hit or miss with the public, but you know, they've been at the table now, a lot more over, probably over the last like 4 months. And trying to be more active and having conversations with what are we doing for compliance? How do we make sure we're contacting the right people? And, you know, we're going to have an update next week on the 28th with Oracle coming to present to the county commission. So we're going to start seeing, you'll start seeing more of that. The public will start seeing more of that and getting more direct updates from Oracle. So, yes, absolutely. We would hold them accountable. We are going to hold them accountable to the contract requirements.
I'm not sure this would affect you guys. The environmental department could punish them for this. I don't think it's...
Yeah.
But have you noticed that they have apparently violated law by basically taking people's emails and sending false comments in favor of the project to the environment department?
Yeah, I mean, I said that during my commission input the other day. It's absolutely disturbing. Nobody's name should be falsely attached, whether in support or against the project. It, you know, that's, and I'm glad the Attorney General is doing an investigation along with NMED. And I will also applaud that Oracle has said that they are working with NMED and the AG to help in the investigation. So, you know, my real hope is that, you know, they say they're not involved. And so we'll, you know, the investigation will go through. And if you know, they're finding there was some act in that, you know, we'll take action. But I think, like I said, Oracle has reached out and said they're participating in that investigation. And so I think, you know, if they felt like they were a part of it, I don't believe they would be willingly participating. So I'm hoping that they find that there are bad actors that were doing this. I hope they're prosecuted. But absolutely, you know, it's disturbing to see, especially when you're seeing elected leaders' names being attached to some of these.
Right. My last question, and we do appreciate very much you calling in. We had representatives from FOG, the Foundation for Open Government, on last week discussing their open documents case against the county. Are you familiar with that case, and can you discuss why the county has so far declined to release those documents regarding Project Jupiter?
I know some of the details. I don't know them in depth, but it's my understanding, I know we've I believe it was in the process that we were working with Oracle or the Project Jupiter team. They took exception, and rather than ourselves going and verifying and doing some of that, you know, why they were making that claim, I believe we took them at their word and may have provided that over or done those redactions. I believe we are already in the process of, you know, we're not going to wait for the court case. We are working actively to review that and get that corrected. And then, you know, trying to work with Fogg on that. But, you know, I think moving forward, from what I've understood, it's given us an opportunity to make sure that if and when there's an IPRA and somebody, you know, we have an entity that may claim some sort of exemption, that we as a county do our due diligence and verify why they did that and understand, do we agree with that before, you know, we provide that to, you know, it, you know, we, before we do any redaction. So that way, you know, we're doing our part. And I think that was, you know, something we're taking a look at.
Again,
I don't know how it's fully going to be resolved when it goes to case, but yeah.